Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, friends, we welcome you to Stand in the Gap today, and this is our Friday edition, and this is Phone In Friday, so we want to encourage you to call in. We'll be giving that number just a little bit later, but it's a delight to have you aboard, and again, my co-host today, in the absence of Dr. Gary Dahl and Sam Rohr, is Dr. Steve Townsend, and Steve is a pastor, former pastor. He has been a traveler all across parts of the world and certainly across the United States, and is currently working for an organization called National Write Your Congressman. We talked a little bit about that yesterday. We won't go back through all of that today. But, Steve, I do want to welcome you back to the program, my friend. You have been a dear friend of mine literally for 25 years plus, probably 30 years plus, and I appreciate so much your input on the program yesterday. We got lots of good comments that were sent to me about the program, so I appreciate you being on yesterday. Thank you for joining us again today.
It is a pleasure and a privilege to be here, Brother Dave.
Well, Steve, we're going to jump right into the conversation. Got so much on the agenda, we want to get right to it. Hey, I want to ask you a question. You are an SEC football fan, are you not?
I am.
And I think the team that you like is a team that has predominantly orange in their colors. Is that correct?
I am. My blood runs orange. We sing Rocky Top a lot. And go for orange.
Yes, indeed. Well, Steve is a Tennessee Volunteer fan, and of course, Steve, you know that I'm a big-time Alabama Crimson Tide fan, but all of that has to do with what I want to bring up and talk about very, very briefly. It's just come out in the last, the last couple of days, but more specifically in the last several hours, that Donald Trump, who is leading the GOP field for the presidency or for the GOP nomination for presidency of the United States, has had to change the venue of his Mobile, Alabama rally this afternoon. That rally was originally scheduled to be held in a smaller convention center type format. But as of several hours ago, the decision has been made, Steve, to move the rally because they need the additional space to move the rally to Ladd Peebles Stadium, which is the stadium used by the University of South Alabama, which, by the way, is not an SEC school. But anyway, it is in the Deep South. And so they've moved the location for this rally to that stadium, which will accommodate about 50,000 people. And Steve, according to the Trump people who are releasing this information, they have said that they already have, that they know of, 30,000 people signed up to come. And so they are, at this point, 20,000 shy of filling up that stadium. But evidently the 30,000 that are already signed up were too many to fill up the initial location, the initial venue for the rally tonight. So anyway, what do you think this means, Steve? I know this is a Deep South rally. It's in the state of Alabama, which is traditionally very, very conservative. But what do you think this means? Does this signal something significant for the Trump campaign?
Well, it definitely does, Dave, in the fact that there is a not just a momentum, but a growing momentum. And, you know, you yourself and your different various ministries know how important a venue is. And really, you know, Trump is very smart. He's got a lot of people working with him that are very smart. And let me just ask you, from your standpoint, would you even consider moving an event to a venue where it would appear that that venue would be only half filled, as opposed to standing room only?
You know, Steve, that's an outstanding question. As a preacher who, you know, has been in a variety of venues, you know, small to very large, I don't use the word psychology in the wrong way, but there is a psychology to this. You want to appear, when you're in a venue, you want to appear to be full and stretching, you know, looking for additional room rather than rattling around inside a very large venue. So the point you're making, Steve, is a great one, and that is this. Donald Trump's people have a very clear understanding that what they are doing is probably going to fill up that venue, or they would not make the switch. And so I agree with you, Steve. I think that's a great point.
Yeah, that's exactly the point I was making, Dave. And here's the thing. At the same time, you don't want to create frustration to the point where people just feel like there's not room for them. So this is very calculated and very strategic. And, you know, if they only thought that there were only going to be just 30,000 there, then they would have maybe considered some other things. But the fact that they are making this kind of last-minute move to such a bigger venue is really very significant, and it really cannot be overstated. I mean, it's going to be really interesting how this plays in the news as well.
Well, I agree with you, Steve, and I know the doors or the gates open this afternoon at 5 o'clock, and so we will know very, very quickly. I'm sure there'll be lots of media coverage down there. So, friends, I encourage you to pay attention to what's going on down there. Steve, here's what I believe is going to happen. If he fills up that venue, or if it even comes close, if he has 35, 38, 40,000 people there, then this changes the whole dynamic of the credibility of the Trump campaign. There have been so many people that have suggested that he's an anomaly, you know, he's here for the short haul. If he fills up or comes close to filling up that arena, it's going to signal something to every other GOP candidate that this guy is in it to stay, that he is connecting perhaps in a far bigger way with the American electorate than anybody has ever imagined that he would. And there's some additional information that's come out. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but Steve, the fact of the matter is this. Donald Trump is running very, very strong among independents. So all of this bodes well for the future of his campaign and would lead me to believe that he's going to be in it for the long haul. I want to shift gears very, very quickly because we got about 2 minutes before we have to go to the break. And that is this. Last night, Steve, you may have watched it. I know I watched it in great detail, but Bill O'Reilly on Fox News Channel took Donald Trump to task again regarding his controversial immigration proposals. And I'm going to be just very candid about this. Bill did not present the full story relative to the interpretation of the 14th Amendment. He cited very recent cases coming out of the high court where the court has decided and basically said or intimated that all children born in the United States are citizens, whether they are born to illegals or not. But what Bill is neglecting to note are the three Supreme Court cases that we cited here on this program yesterday, the 1873, 1874, and 1884 cases that basically indicate the exact opposite. Now, this, Steve, is what is true about what Bill said last night. There are more recent decisions coming out of the high court that would indicate that all children are citizens, but that is based on a misinterpretation of the Constitution that's been going on for some time. And what we need to do is get back to the original intent of not only the founders, but the original intent of the 14th Amendment in and of itself. And that's what we dealt with yesterday. Friends, when we come back from the break, we're going to talk just a little bit more about that, try to help you understand why Donald Trump, regardless of what you think about him in general, is correct in his interpretation of the 14th Amendment that it does not apply to the children of illegals. We'll talk more about that when we come back, as well as a very fascinating story that you will not want to miss. So don't go away. Come back. We'll be back right after these messages.
I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. If you're a parent or grandparent and want to help bring spiritual renewal to America, here's where you should start, with your children and grandchildren. Our children need a godly education, one that mirrors the Christian values embraced by our founders and taught in the home by many of you. BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, makes homeschooling fun and exciting. Exceeding all national standards, BJU Press textbooks are accurate, dependable, and well-researched. They're designed to promote excellence for everyone. every child and are adaptable to different learning styles and challenges. Carefully integrating a true biblical worldview throughout BJU Press textbooks set the standard for academic instruction. That's why I so strongly endorse BJU Press textbooks and encourage their use by homeschoolers and Christian schools alike. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. That's bjupresshomeschool.com.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
Here's Dan Celia with today's Stewardship Moment.
In Romans 11:22, Paul says this, "Therefore consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fell to severity, but toward you goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off." It's amazing in just one verse we can see such contrasting natures of God, goodness and severity. The same God that created the flowers for our enjoyment created the wind and the rain that can be so destructive. We would do well always to remember the total sovereignty of God, not just the flowers.
You've just heard a Stewardship Moment with Dan Celia of Financial Issues Ministry, helping you plan, give, and invest wisely. For more information, log on to financialissues.org. That's financialissues.org.
Chances are there'll never be an emergency ever again. But just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
Who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag? It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency, who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
In 1778, George Washington said in Valley Forge, "If having pleased the almighty ruler of the universe to defend the cause of the United States, and finally to raise up a powerful friend among the princes of the earth, to establish our liberty and dependence upon a lasting foundation, it becomes us to set apart a day of gratefully acknowledging the divine goodness and celebrating the important event which we owe to his divine interposition."
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, friends, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today. This is your host, Dave Kistler, and Dr. Gary Dull is away on vacation. Sam Rohrer is in the country of Ukraine, so I would encourage you to pray for those two men. We're looking forward to having at least Dr. Gary back, possibly a call from Sam from Ukraine on Monday. But lots to share relative to that, and Monday will be the day when we can let you know, hopefully, a little bit more about what's been going on in the country of Ukraine and why SAM, the American Pastors Network, has been involved in this. Let me quickly give the number, because this is Phone In Friday, so if you have a question or a comment, we'd love for you to call in. The numbers are as follows, 877-667-1180. That's 877-667-1180, and that's a toll-free number. Or if you want to call from the local Philadelphia area, the number is 610-539-8255. That's 610-539-8255. Give us a call, please, and we would love to have your comment or your questions and chat with you a bit on the air. We're mentioning some new radio stations that have joined the APN network this last week or so. And these are Pennsylvania stations, and let me just mention very quickly, we welcome these stations aboard. WFBM 90.5 out of Beaver Springs, Pennsylvania, WFBV 90.1 out of Selins Grove, and then WFBA 90.5 out of Culpmont. We welcome you aboard, and thank you so much for being a part of the growing APN network. Steve, I want to go back to what we talked about right before we had to go to the break, and that is this incorrect interpretation of the 14th Amendment that is being perpetuated, tragically, by even well-known media personalities like Bill O'Reilly, and that is children of illegals were never intended by the 14th Amendment to be considered citizens of the United States merely because of their physical presence in this country. And I mean by physical presence, the fact that they were born within the borders of this country. We cited yesterday those three classic cases at the high court that indicate the otherwise, or to the contrary, rather, that only children of citizens, whether natural born or naturalized citizens of the United States, would be considered citizens automatically by their birth. And so technically, Donald Trump is right when he says that this is up for debate in the courts and it's not a resolved issue. He is complete about that. Steve, what I'm wondering is this. Donald Trump is a smart man. Like you said about his shifting of the venue for the rally this afternoon in Mobile to a larger venue, he's not a dumb man. He's not going to do something like that if it's going to hurt him. So for him to put himself out there when it comes to this 14th Amendment issue, doing so has opened him up to all kinds of criticism. It's potentially opened him up to damage being done to his candidacy, but he's done it anyway. He's spoken the truth anyway. Let me ask you this. Why do you think he's doing that, Steve, even at the risk of potentially hazarding his campaign?
Well, I don't know exactly why he might be doing this, but Dave, facts are an interesting thing. And we really are very fortunate to have not just one, not just two, but three Supreme Court rulings that were ruled on this particular amendment just a few years after the amendment was passed. I mean, those Supreme Court justices knew exactly what the intent was, what was going on historically and culturally at the moment. And, you know, for people to try to just deny, well, that's not really what they meant or whatever, or just to say, well, you know, we need to broaden this, it's denying the actual historical facts. And all Donald Trump is doing is just saying, this is what happened.
Steve, Steve, here's the thing that I guess is so frustrating to me. Those closest to the passing of that 14th Amendment understood its intent best. So these decisions coming out of the high court, which are closest to the passing of the 14th Amendment into the Constitution, would understand much more clearly than those distantly removed from it. Hence the cases that have arisen since that would seem to indicate that children born to illegals ought to be citizens. And so I think that's the point you're making as well. So I agree. We need to get back as close as we can to the original intent, not only of the Constitution, but of these amendments to understand what the purpose of those amendments are. Steve, let me ask this before we shift gears, because we have just a few more minutes before this segment's going to be over. Do you think media moguls like Bill O'Reilly are attempting to sabotage Trump's candidacy for whatever reason. Maybe they feel they can't control him. Maybe they're intimidated by him, you know, whatever. Do you think that they are trying to sabotage his candidacy, or are they just merely bringing up things like this because they just disagree with him and think he's wrong?
Dave, that is an outstanding question. For some of us, we tend to like to give people the benefit of the doubt in a good sense. But I'll tell you, there is
hard to do that with the media, isn't it?
I'll tell you, there's a growing cynicism of why are they arguing, trying to argue with, instead of just, it would be one thing if they just came and said, "Boy, Donald, I've never heard of this before. Why are you saying this?" And he says, "Well, this is history." But they're not doing it. They're trying to argue with him about actual facts. And so that is why I believe you're raising the question, so what is their motive? I mean, what are they scared of?
Well, and, you know, that's a great point. And the bottom line is this. Donald Trump is indebted to no one. You know, there was a situation, a week ago where someone wanted to give him $5 million, and he said, "I don't need your money." What's also interesting is this event that he's doing in Mobile at this football arena, this new venue, because of the need for additional space. Steve, he's footing the bill for most of that. In fact, I guess he's footing the bill actually for all of that. I mean, he's going to have concession stands there. He's going to have all kinds of things there to accommodate, you know, the heat and to help the people be comfortable at the rally. And he personally is covering the majority of, if not all of that. So, you know, I think he's an imposing figure to a lot of these media elites who are used to exercising their lordship over a candidate, and they just feel like they can't do that with Donald Trump. And so perhaps that's the reason they're going after him. I'm not sure. But let's do this. Let's shift gears in the couple of minutes we have before we have to go to the bottom of the hour break. Yesterday, in a perplexing, an incredibly perplexing decision, the United States Army announced that it is expelling a decorated Green Beret from their ranks. And I'm referring to Sergeant First Class Charles Martland, who after 11 years of outstanding service is being involuntarily discharged, I think is the term that's being used. You ask, what was his crime? What did he do wrong? Well, after learning that an Afghan police officer that had been trained by U.S. forces using U.S. tax dollars, after Mr. Martland had learned that that police officer, Afghan police officer, had raped a 10-year-old boy, Martland and a member of his team went to confront that Afghan officer. During the confrontation, the gentleman, the officer whose name is Abdul Rahman, admitted that he had raped this 10-year-old boy and laughed about it. While being told of the seriousness of his actions, Rahman continued to laugh and to state that it was no big deal, the fact that he had raped this 10-year-old boy. Now, Steve, just describing this is sickening to me. It turns my stomach. But Martland and his teammate, in order to make a point to this gentleman, Abdul Rahman, shoved him to the ground forcefully to let him know their displeasure at his raping a 10-year-old boy. Captain Daniel Quinn, who is the teammate of Martland, said their actions were necessary to get their point across. And here's what Quinn said in defense of what he and Martland did. He said, and I quote, "As a man, as a father of a young boy myself at the time, I felt obliged to step in and prevent further occurrences." Now, Steve, I want to ask you a question. That decision on the part of Quinn and Martland to push this Afghan police officer to the ground, a man that they have trained and spent U.S. tax dollars to train, and yet he has raped a 10-year-old boy, when the mother of the 10-year-old boy reported it to U.S. forces, Rahman went and beat her because she ratted on him and told what he had been doing to her son. Now, the man who shoved Rahman to the ground, the military officer, decorated guy, is being dismissed. And in essence, this Afghan security officer, police officer, is being defended. Steve, in the 30 seconds we've got or so before we have to go to break, your comments on that.
Dave, it is just tragic that we have a culture, or maybe an administration. I'm sure most moral people would understand what really is going on here, to think that one of our decorated soldiers who is standing up for what is right, what is moral, he's the one that's becoming the victim. and being criminalized. It's just crazy.
You know, Steve, I've gotten, after I sent out an email yesterday, you know, relating this story and how tragic it is, I began to get emails from some of my military buddies and from some guys in the military that I don't even know, but somehow someone sends them my comments that I make. And what they said was this: we thank you, preacher, for standing up and defending one of our own and standing up and defending us in the midst of what has become a very Muslim-friendly military. And so I want to say to those guys that are standing up defending our liberty and freedom, thank you for what you're doing. Friends, stay with us. We'll be back after the break with much more information on this very story.
Dad, this is fun. I didn't think I liked kayaking.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it, but I think it's time to head back in.
Okay. Can we come back?
Sure. Hey, be careful getting out of the boat.
It's a kayak, Dad.
I'm going to return the kayak.
Can we walk home?
How about a taxi?
It's a short fare from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. A historic graduation day at Army Ranger School. Fox News Radio's Evan Brown.
That Ranger graduation is at Fort Benning in Georgia. And it's an extra special day for Army Captain Kristen Greist and Lieutenant Shay Haver, the first female U.S. Army soldiers to complete training as a U.S. Army Ranger, earning the coveted tab on their uniforms.
But as women, they for now cannot serve in the Army's 75th Ranger Regiment. Hundreds of leaks from the Ashley Madison affair-finding website are linked to government computers.
Adam Levin, co-founder of Identity Theft 911, says members of the military could be
dishonorably discharged. You could be the target of an extortion plot. You could also have your security clearance in jeopardy.
Defense Secretary Ash Carter says the Pentagon expects good conduct from its people.
Fox News Radio's Rachel Sutherland. Fox News, we report. You decide.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
Born in Scotland, he was one of only six founding fathers to sign both the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. An active member of the Constitutional Convention, he spoke 168 times. President George Washington appointed him a justice on the Supreme Court. His name was James Wilson, and he died this day, August 21st, 1798. James Wilson wrote, "It should always be remembered that law, natural or revealed, flows from the same divine source. It is the law of God. Human law must rest ultimately upon the authority of that law, which is divine."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Up this week on Parenting Today's Teens with Mark Gregston.
If you're like me, you might be somewhat disappointed in a political system that sends a message to our teens that the use of marijuana is okay. It's not. Now is the opportunity to help your child understand. Be a voice of reason amidst their confusing culture.
And there's more when you join Mark Gregston for the next edition of Parenting Today's Teens.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, welcome back to Stand in the Gap today. This is Dave Kistler, your host, and joining me today, sharing the co-hosting duties, is Dr. Steve Townsend, and it's a delight to have him aboard. Hey, Steve, listen, during the breaks, our listening audience may assume we do some of this. Maybe they don't know we do this, but we text back and forth different things with some of the engineers there at our flagship station, WFYL, and I love these guys over there. Some of them I've never, in fact, I guess all of them I've never actually met face-to-face, but we'll text back and forth. And one of the gentlemen there at WFYL said something that planted a thought in my mind. What if, Steve, what if Donald Trump were to become the GOP nominee? And what if the first statement he were to make after he were sworn in as president on Inauguration Day, he were to look into the camera and say to Barack Obama, "You're fired," like he used to do on The Apprentice. What do you think about that? You couldn't write a better script for television, could you?
No, you couldn't script it any better than that. That is classic. I tell you, whoever came up with that needs to copyright that immediately. That's fantastic.
Well, it was my friend Al who suggested that, and I thought, wow, you're on to something, I think. But anyway, I want to get back to the serious issue here.
Can I say one thing?
You bet.
Just because we're getting ready to change to another subject, but it is interesting. Some of your listeners may reference Drudge Report website. Just this morning, the Drudge Report website was citing that a poll that was saying that the majority of Republicans are already expecting Donald Trump to be the nominee.
Wow. Very interesting. Very, very interesting. And by the way, we want to remind you this is Phone In Friday. And if you'd like to call in, make a comment, ask a question, the toll-free number is 877-667-1180. That's 877-667-1180, or in the local Philadelphia area, 610-539-8255. That's 610-539-8255. Steve, I want to go back to this discussion, what we were having before the break, on Charles Martland, the sergeant who is being dismissed from the military after 11 years of service because he shoved an Afghan police officer who had been raping a 10-year-old boy. And it is Mr. Martland, the Army sergeant that's being persecuted, prosecuted, whatever term you want to use, the being unfairly treated, and its favoritism being shown toward the Afghan police officer in exchange. I want our audience to understand a little bit about Charles Martland and just what kind of guy he is, and you will understand just how unjust this decision is by the Army to dismiss him for shoving. There's no other word to describe that Afghan police officer than a pervert for raping repeatedly a 10-year-old boy. Charles Martland, this Army officer, grew up about 10 miles south of Boston in Milton, Massachusetts. He was an all-state football star at his public high school. He actually went to the Florida State University and walked on, made the team, impressed legendary head coach Bobby Bowden and famed defensive coordinator Mickey Andrews so much that he made the team. But he spent most of his time as a team member on the sidelines. However, Steve, this is a stunning thing. When Pat Tillman, the former NFL football player who played for the Arizona Cardinals, you remember Pat Tillman left the NFL, joined the Army Rangers, was killed in Afghanistan in 2004. When Pat Tillman was killed, Charles Martland was so impressed by Tillman's sacrifice and dedication to the cause of America that he left and joined the military and wanted to try to pick up where Pat Tillman had left off. That's the kind of guy this fella is. And Steve, everyone that I have read about that has worked with Charles Martland has said things like this, quote, "He's the best soldier you would ever want to work with." One of his friends said this, "It's sad to think that a child rapist is put above one of our elite military operators. Sergeant Martland was left no other choice but to intervene in a bad situation." Steve, your comments.
Dave, see, the reason why, you know, like my dad was a soldier in World War II. He was actually a senior in high school when Pearl Harbor was bombed. And so, you know, from my background, I grew up in a time when, and in fact, if you go to the Pearl Harbor Memorial today, they have an outstanding video that basically is unashamedly calling evil, evil, and we were the good guys. We were the moral nation. That there were, we would not tolerate tyranny, and we would not tolerate dictatorships to impose their will on freedom-loving people. And, you know, when we finally liberated the death camps that the Nazis had put up, that was moral. That was right. And this whole idea of morality is being turned on its head with a situation making Sergeant Martlin to look like the bad guy in this. It just goes against the very grain of what our nation was founded on.
You know, Steve, to suggest, which is what basically this Army decision is doing, to suggest that there is some kind of equivalence between the raping of a 10-year-old boy repeatedly and the shoving of this Afghan officer to the ground by Martlin and his friend Daniel Quinn, to suggest that the mistreatment of an individual is equivalent, the shoving to the ground of this guy is equal or is as significant as what was happening to that 10-year-old boy, which is in essence what they're doing by this decision. That's what they're saying. Steve, that's unthinkable. That is absolutely unthinkable. And the fact is, friends, there was a time in America when right was right, wrong was wrong, and acts of pure evil, which is what this Abdul Rahman was doing to this 10-year-old boy, acts of pure evil were condemned in no uncertain terms. And Steve, as one of Charles Martlin's friends said, he ought to be given a medal for shoving that guy to the ground and stopping this. There was a time in America when in the United States military, he would have probably been given a great big pat on the back, if not a medal for doing that. Now we're in a very Muslim-friendly culture. Steve, the Pentagon is riddled through. The United States State Department is riddled through with heavy Muslim influence. And all of this absurdity that we're watching throughout the military, throughout our culture, is flowing from the top down. President Obama has initiated policies that have resulted in the firing or dismissing of many of our best military minds. And tragically, and I say this with a broken heart, but tragically, though this is not across the board, but tragically, we have far too many in the military that are merely spineless yes men, and for the sake of promotion or job security, whatever their motivation might be, are reticent to say anything about the systematic degrading and dismantling of our armed forces that we're watching occur right in front of our very eyes. And Steve, I get exercised about it. I have preached on military bases both inside and outside the United States of America. I've preached two crusades in the Pentagon. I love what our military does. I was never honored or privileged to serve in the military. That was not a path God had for me. But I love what our military does. I love the sacrifice. I love the discipline. I love everything about it. But what our military is becoming under this current leadership is an absolute travesty.
Well, Dave, it could even go even much deeper than this long range.
Well,
our
Steve,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I know where you're going. Go right ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, our men and women are very motivated to fight when they know they are fighting for a cause that is much bigger than themselves.
And a just cause, Steve.
When we see decisions. Yeah, it just caused. When we see decisions like this against Sergeant Martlin, Dave, it begins to destroy the morale of the good men and women that are risking their lives, willing to pay the ultimate sacrifice. That's why they joined up. But I'm telling you, there comes a point where they say, look, I didn't sign up for this. And it is dangerous to our national security long range if we continue to go down a path like this.
Well, I could not agree with you more. And friends, I want to encourage you. The things we're sharing with you today are disturbing, to say the least. Our military has been depleted, dangerously weakened under the Obama administration. The question is, are we irreparably weakened. And Steve, I remind myself of this constantly. I remember what it was like in 1980 when we had hostages being held in Iran for 444 days, when it appeared as if we were powerless to do anything about securing or procuring their release. I remember the failed mission to try to release those under the Carter administration. I remember all of that vividly like it was yesterday. And then onto the stage came a president that I have great respect for. He was not a perfect man. I'm not insinuating by my comments that follow here that he was, but he was an excellent president. I'm talking about Ronald Reagan, and he restored not only dignity to America, but he restored the strength to our military that was needed then and is so desperately needed once again. So friends, let me say this, pray like you've never prayed before, that we will have elected in 2016 a candidate of Reagan-esque stature that will do once again what was needed in 1980. He'll do it again at this strategic time in our United States history. Well, we're going to break for a few minutes, come back with much more information, and we'll be back to share that with you right after the break.
Dishonest money dwindles away, but he who gathers money little by little makes it grow. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. But have you ever stopped to ask how much is enough or how much is too much? Will the money you leave to your family come between them and God? Have you ever said, I am rich, I've acquired wealth, I don't need a thing? I believe that God increases our wealth not to increase our standard of living, but to increase our standard of giving. This is Roy Russell, president of the Life Financial Group, a Christian wealth advisory firm. We work with believers and especially widows to wisely manage the wealth and efficiently pass it on to their children and grandchildren. We are financial, tax, and estate planners. We help successful Christians make wise decisions with their money so they can better provide for their families and leave a legacy of significance. Please call me with your questions or to discuss your needs and desires at 800-688-5800. That's 1-800-688-5800 or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
So, thank you for coming to my town hall today on how wonderful Common Core is and how much money we got from the federal government for giving up control of education. Any questions?
So, Representative, we have adopted new National Common Core standards, but they are not higher than our existing standards, and they were never really tested.
Well, yes.
And now we have to retrain all our teachers again and make them teach from a script so they can teach to national tests?
Well, yes.
And buy lots of new computers and equipment and copyrighted lessons from the same people who are promoting Common Core?
Well, yes.
And we're going to share all our private, family, medical, disciplinary, and test results with people nationwide. Why are you supporting it?
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
In Luke chapter 14, Jesus told the crowd of a man who planned a great supper. He commanded his servant to invite many guests, and he did, yet few came. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. The crowds missed his point, so Jesus was even more direct. He said, "If any come to me and hate not his parents, wife, children, family, and his own life, he cannot be my disciple. If he's not willing to forsake his own ambitions for me, he cannot be my disciple. If he refuses to be real salt, he cannot be my disciple. Jesus' point was that there's no such thing as a secret disciple. If your love for Jesus Christ is not clearly superior to your love for friends and family, if your love for Christ is superseded by your own ambitions, or if your salt is not salty, then you're not a true disciple. I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network asking you, can anyone see that God's first in your life? Remember, there are no secret disciples.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
You're fired. You're fired.
You're fired.
Shut up. Sit down.
You're fired.
Okay. You're fired.
Oh, my goodness, friends. That is courtesy of our engineer, Russ. Thank you, Russ, so much for queuing that up and having that ready. Steve, did you enjoy that?
That was classic. That was, I'll tell you, and that may be exactly where we're going. There seems to be a lot of momentum in the Trump camp right now.
Well, there does indeed. And of course, we're not endorsing Trump here by playing that or by our comments. It's just that, Steve, I had lunch today with a very in the know couple, great people. They're from the area where I live, and they follow the political goings on for some time. And they said, you know, what's happening is this. People are tapping into the fact that we have had weakness in the White House. We have had someone who's apologized for the United States of America rather than defending American interests. We've had someone who has been all talk and very little do. And now they see in Donald Trump someone who is a doer, not just a talker, and someone who stands up for what he believes, speaks unfiltered, unsanitized truth, and they appreciate it. And so I think that is really the essence of the Trump phenomena. But the fact of the matter is this: if this rally this afternoon that begins at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock in Mobile, Alabama, if that rally is filled up in that football stadium, this new venue that Trump has had to procure for this rally, then that changes the entire dynamic of his campaign. People, I think, will realize he's in it to stay. He is not just a brief anomaly that he is going to be a force to be reckoned with. But again, Russ, thanks for playing that, my friend. Kudos to you.
Hey, Dave, Steve, can I just say one more comment about that, just to kind of give you a perspective of what's really happening right out here among the grassroots? You know, I work for National Right Your Congressman, and I am contacting business owners, 20, 25 business owners every day. And I'm just telling you, and there again, you made it very clear. I mean, we're not endorsing Trump as a candidate at all, but I'm just observing. I'm listening. And Donald Trump is resonating. One of the business owners I interviewed was a longtime woman. Owner of a jewelry store, very classy lady, very gracious. And she was one of the, right after, almost the day that Trump was announcing that he was seriously considering being a candidate, she was the day that we talked to her, and she said, I am liking what I'm hearing from him. Well, just this past week, I sat down with the other end of the spectrum as far as jobs are concerned, but still just a really typical blue collar American business owner. He owned a trash disposal business, and here's what he told me. He said, you know what? I have never voted in my entire life, but I'm voting this time. I said, why is that? He said, I want to vote for Donald Trump. I mean, Dave, I'm hearing comments like this. It's very interesting, and I'm not really sure that, you know, I'm necessarily a totally for Donald Trump personally. I'm just reporting what I'm hearing. I'm out here in the trenches, and I'm telling you, from all different angles, all different spectrums, what he is saying is resonating with people, and it may be a healthy wake-up call for the Republican Party in general.
Well, you know, Steve, I hope it is. I hope it is. And for the reasons that I stated earlier, I think it is resonating with people. Trump is, in some ways, his approach, his demeanor, his aggressiveness, his tell-it-like-it-is approach is the polar opposite of what we've had in the White House for the last 7 years. And people are just tired. They are weary beyond belief with what we've had for the last 7 years, and they're looking like they're looking to inhale pure oxygen. They're looking for something that is diametrically opposed to what we've had. Now, there's always a danger in that, and I want to be careful to say that. You don't want to just accept somebody that's diametrically opposed in their manner and in their demeanor without looking more deeply into what they believe. And there are some questions Trump's going to have to answer. However, he is beginning to answer some of them, and he seems to be answering them quite satisfactorily. And so we'll see where all this goes in the future. But today at 5 o'clock, when the doors open down there in Mobile, Alabama, that will scream a lot as far as what Donald Trump's future may well be with the GOP and maybe well beyond that. Steve, I just want to share this because we've got about 2 minutes, 3 minutes before we have to leave the program for today. And I want to say this quickly before we run out of time, if I don't have a chance to do it later. Steve, I want to thank you for being aboard. Your contribution has been great the last 2 days, and we will have you back on again. Thank you so much. But we have a friend, Dr. Gary Dahl and I do, that we sometimes refer to as our informant. And that's all I'll say. But he has contacts with lots of key people in Washington, D.C., within the security apparatus. And he has been letting me know that this email server that Hillary Clinton has been using, it's not a question of could it have been hacked by foreign entities. What he's telling me is it has been hacked by foreign entities. And the fact of the matter is this, classified information, top secret potentially information is now in the hands of the enemies of the United States. Now, here's how I feel about this, Steve. That ought to be something that would disqualify Hillary Clinton from ever being dog catcher, much less being president of the United States of America. My question to you is this. Do you think the distrust of Hillary Clinton in the three of the key battleground states, the three key states that any president must win or some portion thereof he must win to become president, I'm talking about Florida, Pennsylvania, and Ohio, Hillary's untrustworthiness quotient in all three of those states is well above 60%. Do you think the fact that people are beginning to see her more and more as an untrustworthy individual that is fueling the phenomena that is Donald Trump?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, people are beginning to step back and, you know, even maybe longtime supporters that she's been able just to kind of keep in her camp are now being forced to really ask the hard question, is this the kind of person that we want being commander in chief? I mean, it is just a, when you realize the cavalier and just incompetent or whatever happened there, for her just to carry around these very, very sensitive supposedly secrets of our government and for national security purposes, and for her to be that cavalier with it is just
It is unthinkable, Steve. It is absolutely. Friends, let me remind you, 2 Samuel 23:3 says this, "He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God." So one of the qualities mentioned there for, from God's perspective, to be a leader is you must have a sense of justice, not social justice, the way the term is used today, but God's justice, right and wrong. And if I could say it with a broken heart, Hillary Clinton seems to have no sense of right and wrong whatsoever. Well, friends, join us again on Monday for our next installment of Stand in the Gap Today. We look forward to joining you at that time.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler, brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission.
A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government. Taken from Thomas Jefferson's first inaugural address, March 4th, 1801.